The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
Are you unhappy with your health and catch everything doing the rounds? Do you have a mystery illness the doctors can't treat? Are you searching for a better way to manage your health? My name is Kevin Davis. Our bioresonance system starts with an automated full body scan. It's simply the quickest way to shine a light on what's going on inside, with treatments during the same session. For the latest health tech at the best price, visit biohealthtech.co.uk today and make us your first choice for a healthier you.
Hello and welcome to the Yes to Life show. My name's Robin Daly and I'm the founder of Yes to Life, the UK charity that helps people with cancer to understand the wide range of choices available to them within integrative medicine and to access those choices. The show this week features two guests who have both been on the show previously but have teamed up to create a new initiative to support people with cancer. Liz Butler and Sylvia Grisendi are two highly skilled and experienced practitioners, and their drive to improve the situation of people with cancer in the UK is hugely needed. I'm talking to Liz and Sylvia in London over Skype. Hi Liz and Sylvia, welcome to the Yes Life show.
Hi Robin, thanks for having me.
Hi Robin, thank you.
So look, you've both been guests on the show before. In fact, Liz, you're becoming a bit of a regular, but having you both together is a first. The reason I'm particularly wanting to talk to you both together is that you're launching a new joint initiative called Cancer Clarity, which I've been waiting to find out all about. So you're both nutritionists by training, but you've got very different career trajectories leading you to today, which we'll talk about in a minute. And you've been working together for some time, providing nutritional advice and more to people with cancer. So what's made you feel you wanted to do something new?
Well, if I start on this from my perspective and then Sylvia will carry on from her perspective. So I have wanted to do something a little bit different, I have to be honest, for quite a long time.
Okay.
As you know, Robin, I've been working as a nutritional therapist with people with cancer for quite a long time now, and that has been incredibly rewarding, something I've enjoyed hugely, enjoyed seeing people get physical benefits from changing their diet and adopting a supplement protocol, but also the psychological benefits of doing something positive for themselves to contribute to their recovery.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also been some frustration over the years in terms of seeing people very often put nutrition at the very core of their complementary approach, and sometimes disregarding other areas that I have felt are equally important. Even though I've always tried to give a holistic perspective,
right,
in the work I've done, I've found that people have really wanted to put nutrition at the centre and have shied away from looking a bit deeper at some of the emotional issues that are going on and connection to spirit. And that aspect I have felt, not just through observations that I've seen with working with people, but through my own life experiences, those aspects I feel are so crucial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been frustrating when people haven't wanted to look at those areas. And I found also that sometimes with nutrition, people have almost got a bit hung up on having the perfect diet and the right supplements, and it's almost started to create stress for them, and that in some ways has taken away from the benefits that they can get from that. And so I have wanted to tell people what I truly believe, which is that we need to look at all of these areas. We need to focus not just on the physical body, but also the mind and the spirit, and they're all equally important.
Mm.
And while I was working as a nutritional therapist and people were coming to me for nutrition, it was hard sometimes to get that message across. And so I wanted to move into working in a different way where the holistic approach was central. Right. So that's really what it's been about for me.
Okay. Before we go on to Sylvia, can I just ask you, do you think that, you know, you're saying how people are very focused on nutrition, a lot of people are these days, as being a key heart of what they're trying to do for themselves, to the detriment of all these other areas. Is that a matter of education? Do you think they literally don't think it's as important, or do you think there's something else at play?
I think there's something else sometimes, and there's nothing wrong, let me just say, there's nothing wrong with going deep into the nutritional side. It's something that we really believe in, you know, looking very closely at what your nutritional needs are and maybe doing detailed, complex testing to really work that out. And there's nothing wrong with that, just as long as people are looking at the other areas and giving them equal weight and equal importance. So I just want to make that clear. I think there are deeper reasons sometimes why people put other areas aside and focus on nutrition. It's something that's very logical in our minds, that what we eat is going to have a very powerful impact on the way our physical body works. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of science to support the benefits of nutrition in cancer recovery. So it makes a lot of sense on a logical level. And it's also relatively easy to change our diet in positive ways.
Right.
Whereas when we're starting to talk about our emotional health and digging deep into perhaps some pain that we've been carrying since childhood, you know, that's where it starts to get complex. There's sometimes things that are going on in our subconscious that we're not immediately aware of, and it takes work to get down into those areas. And yes, it's work that's involved, but it's also coming face to face with some challenging emotions and some pain, and most of us don't really want to do that stuff.
Fair enough.
But I think that there is an aspect of education, because I believe that if people really understood that when they work with these emotions and how powerful that can be in transforming our health, then I think if people really understood that, they maybe would be a bit more willing to do that.
Right. Okay, thank you for that. Sylvia, do you want to have something to say now about your desire for change, for doing something new?
Yes. Well, for me, the need to adopt a broader perspective started at a different point already when I wanted to move from my earlier career and as a scientist, and which led me to some sort of quest for answers that I wasn't really finding, you know, for myself in that field. So, and answers that I looked for over the years in fields, you know, beyond my initial area of expertise, and it predominantly in naturopathic nutrition, and this is where I retrained, and functional medicine initially, but then also in other fields of natural medicine. And I found a lot of answers that made a lot of sense to me, but that were not necessarily part of the mainstream for every person affected by the disease to find easily. So for me, it became important to find ways to share information, concepts, but also practical ideas for an inspiring and empowering people to be able to take more charge in their situation and make them feel less scared and more resourceful. So then after practicing as a nutritional therapist on a one-to-one basis for several years, and I felt I wanted to reach more people than a one-to-one practice allows, and hence the idea of joining forces with Liz and creating something new.
All right. Okay, sounds good. So look, just for the people who don't know you, it'd be nice to go into your backgrounds a little. So Liz, you featured large in UK for nutrition around cancer for a very long time. Arguably, you're one of the country's most experienced practitioners in this field. Can you tell us a little bit about your initial training and what you've done over the years?
Yeah, sure. So it all started with a science degree in biochemistry. I'd actually had a long interest, even since childhood, in healthy eating. I think that came from my mum, who was also interested in that. but also I was very interested in medicine and health. So I ended up doing a degree in biochemistry. And then after that, I spent a little bit of time working in the pharmaceutical industry, not something that I enjoyed at all, but it did give me some insight, so it was useful. But I then came back to the nutrition. It was something I still had a real passion for. And I trained at the Institute for Optimum Nutrition. At the same time, I shifted from pharmaceuticals into working for the supplement industry. So got a lot of insights into that industry as well. I was interested in cancer, had been, and so this goes a bit beyond your question of professional training, but I'd had, if we're talking about life experience as well, I'd had a fear of cancer since a very young child, and I have no explanation as to why that came about. But I think we're often drawn to the things we fear most, because at a deep level we want to resolve those fears. And so I was drawn to working with cancer. And even before I'd finished my training at the Institute for Optimum Nutrition, I started working with a cancer support group, giving them advice. So I continued with that interest, and I then did some training with the Gerson Institute, the Gerson Therapy. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up working with an integrative doctor in the south of England for a while. And soon after that, I decided to further my training, and I did my MSc in nutritional medicine at the University of Surrey. While I was doing that, I had a job. It was actually a friend sent me an email saying there's a job going at Bristol Cancer Help Centre, as it was then, now called Pennybron Cancer Care. And I read the job description and thought, that is my dream job. Right. And I was lucky enough to get that job. So I worked for 7 years for Pennybron Cancer Care as their senior nutritional therapist. So I had a team of nutritional therapists and was in charge of developing and running the nutritional side of the work there. That was an amazing job, taught me so much. And I think one of the best things about that job was, for the first time, being part of a holistic team of health professionals, right, working alongside doctors, body workers, psychotherapists. That was an amazing experience.
Right.
So I was there for 7 years. But all the while was wanting to do something on my own, a bit more break free and build up my own practice. So I did eventually move to London and set up my own practice. But at the same time, I started working for The Haven, so the breast cancer charity, doing a very similar role that I was doing at Pennybron Cancer Care. So I was there for several years and then set up my business that was running until now, which was Body Soul Nutrition, and that was offering people nutritional therapy. I had a small team there, and I was working in a very holistic way, Body Soul Nutrition sort of alludes to that. But as I said in your last question, I wanted to make that leap into a much more holistic way of working, and that's when Cancer Clarity was born, with the help of Sylvia.
Right, okay, very interesting. So, Sylvia, I alluded to the fact that you come by a very different route to joining up with Liz. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yes. Briefly, my route is very, very different up to this moment. And I would say my most formative years were spent really working as a research scientist in a lab in New York at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. After, you know, my PhD and my degree in biological sciences. And then after I decided to move on from the lab, I spent some years in scientific communication, and I was working for one of the Nature journals first as an associate editor, and then in medical communication. At that point, I already had, you know, all those questions in my head that I was trying to find answers for. And I really felt I needed a drastic change of approach.
Mm-hmm.
So retrained as a nutritional therapist at the CNN. Well, I knew from the very beginning, given my background, that I wanted to specialize in this field. So obviously the science of the biology of cancer, the genetics, it remains very important and for me to understand. But definitely my decision to move out of that world is because I wanted to zoom out to a less reductionist way of looking at things, more holistic way.
Right.
After practicing for a few years, then I discovered Lisa's work and her ideas regarding not only nutrition, as she has said very well, but much more than that. So I jumped at the opportunity that she gave me of working with her, and then of combining my own experience with hers to create something that people affected by cancer directly or indirectly could find helpful, and also mind-opening in some cases. So yes, that's in a nutshell.
Okay, very good.
My route to this moment.
Well, I kind of imagine that these two very different pathways actually complement each other amazingly, and the things you must be able to bring to the table independently, to create the whole of Cancer Clarity must be quite amazing.
I think Sylvia and I talk about this quite a lot. I think Sylvia's brilliant in helping to ground me, because sometimes I will go off into the airy-fairy world of spiritual and all of that, because it's what I'm passionate about. And Sylvia's also interested in all of that too, but she does help to ground me back in the firm science of it all. And so I do think that we complement each other very well.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, well, before we go on to talk about what you as Cancer Clarity are offering, your team's a little bit bigger than just the two of you, isn't it? So do you want to just tell us?
Yes. So we have two amazing therapists working alongside us, and these are both girls that I've known for a long time. So Grace Loveday worked alongside me at Pennybron Cancer Care. So she is an oncology nurse by training, and has since done lots more training in body work. So she's an amazing massage therapist. And she also does something called focusing, which is about helping people to get quiet and go within and tune into what their body's telling them. So that's amazing work that she does. So I worked alongside her. She was the senior nurse at Pennybron while I was the senior nutritional therapist. So we know each other very well. We've worked alongside each other for many years. And so I know how brilliant she is. And I really wanted her to be part of our coaching team and was thrilled when she agreed. And then Sarah Lumley, I've also known for a long time because she was working at The Haven, similar time to when I was, but actually I took over her role for a while because she wasn't well at the time. So she was senior nutritional therapist. So she did a similar role to me at The Haven that I did at Pennybron, basically managing the nutritional side. She's a brilliant therapist. Like myself, she's done the HeartMath training and is working from a very heart-centered approach. She's brilliant in terms of her nutritional knowledge, but also the emotional, spiritual side as well. And clients absolutely love her. Mm. I've worked alongside her at Body Soul Nutrition for a lot of years, and so I know how clients love her. And so again, I was thrilled to have her as part of our team.
Sounds a very solid team. All right, I want to ask you a bit later about the heart math you mentioned, but I'll slate that one for later on. So a theme that I know you've been developing, Liz, in recent years, and we've explored on the Yes to Life show before, is that of seeing cancer as a loss of connection and correlating this with an overall loss of connection to our natural roots. Do you want to say a bit more about that now?
Yes. Robin, I would. Thank you for asking this, because this really is the foundation of the work that we do at Cancer Clarity. So there's many ways to view cancer, of course. We can look at it from all sorts of different angles and perspectives. But a way that I have found useful, and our clients have found useful, and a way that I believe there's a lot of truth in, is seeing cancer, as you say, as a loss of connection. And this works at different levels. So if we get right down to the micro level, the cellular level, we see that cancer cells have become disconnected from other cells in the vicinity and also from the microenvironment. So the normal, healthy, two-way signaling that goes between the microenvironment, which is home to our cells, and the cells, has broken down. So cancer cells are no longer reacting to and responding to signals coming from the microenvironment in an appropriate way. And also they're no longer sending out appropriate signals to the microenvironment. Wow. And so they've become disconnected from the community and they're going it alone. So that they're on a mission to survive almost, no matter what the consequences for the rest of the body. And it seems that, like, they're no longer working for the common good and are no longer tuned in to the higher purpose. Mm. Now, at this point, it's very easy to lay the blame with cancer cells, and that is what we see with modern medicine. The focus is on the cancer cells, and the idea is to destroy those, and then that will be the solution to the problem. But the reason, and we do always have to look at the deeper reasons, the reasons why cancer cells are behaving in what seems like a very self-centered way is because the microenvironment they're living within no longer sustains them. And what's happened is the health of the microenvironment has deteriorated, and you see a buildup of toxins, you see depletion of water, depletion of oxygen, nutrient imbalances, and crucially also disturbances in the energetic flow through the microenvironment, because it is energy flow through the microenvironment, this transfer of information that happens instantaneously. That is what coordinates everything in the body and allows everything to communicate. So because of cancer cells' particular genetic makeup, they deal with this type of crisis situation by going it alone. And now this situation is reflected very well at the macro level, so the level of the individual, the level of society. And we know that cancer is exceedingly rare in societies where the environment is healthy, where there is clean air to breathe, clean water to drink, where the food is wholesome and nutritious, and where communities are strong and relationships really valued, and where there is a connection to something greater and a faith in something greater than ourselves. We see cancer is rare in those situations. Now, in our modern world, there aren't that many of those societies that remain anymore. But we know from studies into the few that do exist, studies that have happened now, but also going back decades, we know that cancer was very rare in those situations. And we also know that when traditional societies adopt a Western lifestyle, that cancer rates go up dramatically. And so at Cancer Clarity, we believe that cancer is a disconnection, or it reflects a disconnection from a natural way of living and from our true selves, that deeper part of ourselves that knows that we're connected to everything and knows that there is a greater purpose. And there is another aspect which I must just mention, which is all to do with healing. So the literal meaning of healing is to become whole, which therefore implies that if we require healing, there must be some sort of fracturing going on. There must be some sort of disconnection between parts of ourselves and ourselves and our environment. And so in order to support people to find wholeness, to find healing, then what we are aiming to do is to help them reconnect in all of these areas of their life. And we talk about seven elements, which we'll talk a bit about later, but the seven elements, seven areas of health that we feel people need to find that connection in order to find wholeness and healing.
Okay, that's very comprehensive, thank you. Okay, well, look, anyone with an eye on the statistics around cancer, they won't have failed to notice that an ever-increasing proportion of cancers are being now ascribed to lifestyle factors. It depends who you ask as to how big that number is, but it seems to be going up generally. And of course, people like you have been working in the field of integrative medicine for any length of time. That's no surprise at all. In fact, you probably think the figure should be a lot bigger than most people say it is. So I think it'd be fair to say that lifestyle factors is the territory that you and Sylvia work in. Do you want to give us a quick guide to the territory that you cover and tell us what you think are the most damaging aspects of our 21st century Western lifestyle?
Well, Sylvia's going to answer most of this question and bring in the science. I'm just going to quickly start by telling you the seven elements that I just mentioned, because these are the areas we focus in. So nutrition is, of course, one of them. And that's, as we said earlier, something that's makes a lot of sense to people. It's very accessible. So very often that's where people like to start. So we've got nutrition, we've got detoxification, we've got physical activity and movement, rest and relaxation, something called bioenergetic balance, which is about the energies that make up our body and how they're affected by energies in our environment, either in a negative or a positive way. Then we've got emotional well-being and deep connection. Now, for all of these elements, we are looking at them from the broadest perspective. So we're looking at how each of these elements heal us on every level. So let's take nutrition, for example. We're looking at food not only as a collection of nutrients and anti-cancer compounds, but we're also looking at food and how it can heal us on an emotional level. Right. How when we eat certain foods, it triggers memories that can be very comforting. And when we feel good on an emotional level, that's very supportive for our physical healing. So that is an element we need to consider. And we also look at food from the spiritual level too, how food connects us back to nature and how food connects us with other people and is a vehicle for sharing love. So that's just an example with just one element of how we look at it, not just from a narrow perspective of as to what it can do for our physical body, but also what it can do for the rest of our being. So, Sylvia, I'll let you talk a bit more about the science and some of those things.
Yes, so most damaging aspects of our century, where to start, is a long list of things, right? And we know the link between cancer and lifestyle and environmental factors is really undeniable. Even now in mainstream science, it's been shown in many different ways. You may remember that important paper that sort of put the stamp on this that came out in 2016 in Nature. But there were others, you know, years before that one, and there's been others after, with data basically saying that lifestyle behaviors and environmental factors account for between 70 and 90% of cancer cases. So nothing to do with some interpretations that, you know, it's all random and all of that. Yes, there are certain type of cancers that a small percentage that are to be attributed to genetic, sort of, strictly speaking, genetic causes. But then the environment is really big. And this range of factors go from the most well-known, most evident, such as smoking or poor diet, we all know that. But there are others that are less recognized at the moment, we hope they will be more recognized, actually. And, for example, ongoing stress. There's a lot of talking about that, but then this link maybe is not that clear. And also physical inactivity and possibly environmental toxicity is definitely one of the bigger factors. So really the pollution of our air, water, processed foods, but also electromagnetic pollution, which is very talked about at the moment with all the developments that are happening in that area. And this one, the toxicity in the environment, is perhaps one of the more difficult to control, unfortunately, and that can create some anxiety. Because increasingly we're making links, you know, between certain type of cancer and certain pollutants, that science is going really deeply into this.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we know more about the links between lymphomas and pesticides, or the role of heavy metal as a risk factor for breast cancer. We know all about persistent organic pollutants, right? How they influence all the risk factors across the board of the major cancer types. So yes, that can be a little bit, you know, heavy and scary to think about. So what we have to do, we have to do what is in our power as individuals to look for ways not only to support our detoxification systems properly, but also reducing our exposure. So knowledge makes then as a consequence that you know about things and you can reduce your exposure. So work on the removal, less exposure, at the same time finding ways to support the body with all that it needs to function optimally. So replenishment in that sense. And here, obviously, I'm referring not only to the essentials, the nutrients, the pure water, try to breathe clean air wherever possible, moving our body, etc. But the same applies to our emotional and spiritual nourishment. This concept of removal and replenishment applies to all of these different areas, as we say, and this is our work. And very importantly, we also need to find ways to reduce and manage our stress levels. But I always say that perhaps it's more important to increase resilience, because stress is an element that is present in everybody's life. And it's not something that you can decide to remove that easily. So it's a matter of managing it and becoming more resilient, because we know, and the evidence supports this completely, how ongoing stress can undermine health in many ways, in a profound way, not only by, you know, many things happening in the body, disrupting hormones and compromising our ability to digest absorbed nutrients, but also undermining our immune system. That also creates that situation, that survival mode, quote unquote, that creates that disconnection that Liz was talking about, disconnection to a nourishing way of living.
Right. Well, I'm very glad you mentioned that there's two sides to this picture, because if you just educate yourself on the dangers, of course, it's a scary world out there, and you realise that most of the things that everybody used to trust, take for granted they could trust them, are no longer trustworthy. And it feels like you just have a kind of, you live in a shrinking world. But of course, you can, the body's an amazing thing. It can actually deal with an enormous amount of assaults of toxicity, given the right nutrients, given the right ingredients to do that. And this side of building up your resilience, as you said, is just as important, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And as you say, the body is a wonderful thing and very, very resourceful. And if we combine that with what we can do by knowing what our thoughts and emotion can contribute to our physical health, then we are, we like to think that this gives people more confidence and are feeling more in charge of what's happening to them.
Yes.
In this sense.
Yeah, definitely. So now, can we talk directly about the ways in which you're planning to help people? Firstly, can you tell us about your programs, something completely new, I believe, and about the holistic view of health that they're built around?
Yes. So let's talk about the program. So we, as I said earlier, have developed this seven elements of healing model, which we use as the basis for all of our work. And we have designed an online program that gives people information across all of those elements. So this is like a foundation program. It will provide people with a broad perspective of all the different areas that they can or they should be addressing in order to optimize their healing potential. And so it covers all of those elements that I said. There's also two modules at the beginning of the program, which give the sort of underlying information and the foundation to our approach. People can buy the program as a whole, or if they're not quite, or more of them, as they wish. Mm-hmm. And so it's an online program, which means that people will, when they buy the modules, they will get access to, for each module, 10 videos, or around about 10 videos. And 9 of those will be a presentation with slides, and it will be me giving those presentations. And then one of the videos for each module is a meditation video, a meditation with a theme that relates to the topic of that module. And this is really important because we are trying to take people on a journey with this. We don't just want to give information. We want to give people an experience. And a lot of the focus of our work is helping people to tune in to the inner wisdom that we all have so that they can find the answers that are right for them. None of us know better than ourselves what's right for us. So we can speak to all the experts we like, you know, the most learned doctors and health professionals, but we ourselves have the real true answers about what's best for ourselves, and we encourage people to tune in to that information as much as possible. And so the meditations are designed to support with that. And so as well as the videos, we also provide support materials with each module. And that is reading materials that support the information that's been given, but also a home practice. And we do want to make this a practical experience, so we encourage people to do home practices with each of the modules. Now, this is an interactive program, so even though it's pre-recorded and people can access it whenever they like, we do want to interact with people. So we have a Facebook community that people that have done the program can join, and we're on there pretty much every day, answering any questions. But the other thing we have is a monthly live online Q&A session. So people can join this session online and we can answer their questions. And this is something we hope will really build up into something where people can communicate with us, but also with each other and support one another. So that's the program. And
any friends maybe who will benefit from this program, right?
Yes.
We believe, you know, we believe that anyone affected by cancer directly or indirectly can benefit from the program, from the interaction, in ways that obviously will depend on where each individual is in their cancer journey. So individuals with a diagnosis that can be recent or not so recent, who are looking for ways to introduce powerful changes to support themselves, but simple, but powerful. And whether or not conventional treatment is part of the picture, that there's a, you know, that there's information for either scenarios. People who want to know about how to support their family or friends who are going through cancer, or people who are in the clear maybe and want to decrease the risk of recurrence, that's another thing. And people who don't have a diagnosis but maybe have a family history of cancer and want to adopt a preventative lifestyle, want to learn more how to support themselves. And most importantly, I think anyone who really wants to have a relationship with their health and healing, where they are at the center of the stage and are, you know, learning to be more mindful and taking charge of what we need in order to nurture our innate ability to heal that we all have.
So sounds like there's pretty much something for everyone there who's interested in looking at health in a holistic way.
Yes, yes, and obviously the emphasis is on this disease, on cancer, and there is, you know, that's the focus. But obviously, because it covers so many essential areas of health, it can, anyone on this journey and anyone who maybe concern with a preventative lifestyle can benefit from it.
Yeah, great. Okay, so you also offer coaching. Who's that aimed at, and what could they expect to get from that?
Well, the coaching is a really important aspect because we know, having worked on a one-to-one basis with people over many years, that people like that one-to-one connection with a therapist. And so we want to provide that for people who want it. Okay. And so the coaching is aimed at anyone who has either done the program or is going through the program. It has to be done in conjunction with the program.
Mm-hmm.
And this is support that will come from either myself, Sylvia, Sarah or Grace, the two others I mentioned earlier. And we will provide that one-to-one support. And the idea is that we will obviously give practical solutions, and we will give advice on the particular elements where there seems to be a disconnection. We will also motivate and encourage, because I think that's very important.
Right.
But I think one of the most important things we want to do with this, and you know, I'd seen so many people come to me when I was doing the nutritional therapy in an absolute panic and state of overwhelm from all the information that they had gathered,
right,
either internet or seeing other practitioners. And I saw so many people that were just in a muddle because they'd collected so much information, being given all sorts of different advice, sometimes contradictory, from different health professionals, and they just didn't know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and when people are feeling like that, they're obviously in a state of stress.
Right.
And we know, and Sylvia's already talked about this, that when the body is under chronic stress, it's very undermining for our immune function and our healing ability. So one of the things that we want to do is to help to calm people down and reduce their stress. And so we help people by giving them, by allowing them to take a step back from everything that they've collected and just giving them an overview of where they are and helping them to work out what their priorities are for them as an individual in terms of their journey, and then helping them to put a plan together for their journey just so that they really feel confident that they've got something, a plan that's right for them. And I think that's a really important part of the coaching that we do.
Yeah, sounds very important. So on the coaching page itself, you mention, this is the place you mentioned that you use a heart-centered approach, and you mentioned heart and math very early on in the interview. Do you want to say something about that now?
Yeah, well, the heart-centered approach is such an important aspect, and again, it ties in exactly with what I said before. There is a lot of scary information out there about toxins in our environment and about all the different possible supplements that you could take with cancer, and you better be taking the right one and it better be at the right dosage, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of information that can actually frighten people a bit, and as I said before, that's going to create stress. We want to work with people in a very heart-centered way, and what I mean by that is helping, again, to reduce stress, take the fear out of the situation, and help them to feel confident in what they're doing, help them to feel calm and relaxed, which will optimize their healing. And also, we feel it's always important to give people hope, because hope is always justified. People talk about false hope. I don't believe in false hope. Hope is always justified because there's always a possibility of healing. And, you know, you only have to read the stories of people like Anita Morjani. You'll know of her. People that have turned around their condition at the absolute latest stages. That there's always that chink of possibility. And I think hope is just about opening that door of possibility, even if it's just a tiny, tiny amount. And as soon as people have just a little bit of hope, that changes their whole physiology. And it means that they're in a much better position to be able to improve their health. So we want to give people hope. We want to come from a very gentle, loving place to help reduce stress, reduce fear. And so that's partly what I mean by heart-centered, but there is another aspect to it. Mm-hmm. And this really goes into the whole world of heart math. And anyone that hasn't heard of the Heart Math Institute, I'd highly recommend you do an internet search and look on their website, because they have done some incredible research around the heart. And it could be a very long discussion, but just to put it in brief terms, the heart is an amazing organ that does much more than just pump blood around the body, scientists are discovering. And what we know now is that all of our organs have a an energy field around them. The heart actually has the strongest energy field of all our organs in the body. And it seems that the heart's energy field is very important in regulating all of our energy fields within the body and bringing them into what's called a coherent state. Now, when the energies of the body are in a coherent state, that's much more conducive to healing. So that's something we want. But also importantly, when our heart is coherent, our heart energy is coherent, and that supports coherence of the rest of the energy of the body, what that does, it allows us to have access to our intuition. Yeah. And intuition is something that people may think can't be very science-based, but that's not the case. There's now a lot of research around intuition, and the Heart Math Institute have done some of this research. And we know that there's something called non-local intuition, which is when we can tune in, not to memories that our brain has stored from ancient times, which is one type of intuition. This non-local intuition is about tuning in to the information that exists in the greater consciousness. Now, it does sound like it's getting a bit airy-fairy, but the research is there and it's really quite amazing. And when our heart is in this coherent state, we're able to access this intuition much more effectively. Mm. And the way that we bring our heart into this more coherent state is, first of all, by being in a state of relaxation and calm as much as possible. Of course, we all have moments of stress, but bringing ourselves back to a relaxed state where we're breathing well on a regular basis, and also looking after our emotional well-being, because our emotions is the language of the heart. And again, we are all going to have moments of feeling what we call challenging emotions, things like anger, fear, sorrow, etc. But it's about how we manage those emotions and how we allow them to flow through our body. And when we do that, we can return to the more positive emotions. And that helps to keep our heart in this coherent state and helps us to have access to this intuition, which is so important because, as I said earlier, this is our best guide for all of us on our path of healing. It's what can help direct us in the direction that we need to go, and we can listen to all the experts, as I said before, but this guide that we all have will take us always in the right direction if we can only learn to listen to that. So that's what I mean by heart-centered approach. It's about right. looking after our emotional well-being, and we want to help people to do that, and in doing that it helps us to access our intuition.
Well, I'm sure a lot of that will be music to the ears of people who maybe are being buffeted around in the first week or two after a diagnosis by the kind of forces you've already talked about of, you know, huge amounts of conflicting information and all these things. So, it sounds like a fantastic resource. Okay, so we're just about at the end. I wanted to just finish off by talking about your amazing new website. It looks absolutely beautiful, and there's tons of information on there and resources. The address is a little bit unusual, so it's cancerclarity.co. So the ending is unusual, cancerclarity.co. I've had a pretty good look around, as I say, and I think you've done a great job, and obviously it's been a huge amount of work, so congratulations. But do you want to just give people a quick summary of what they're likely to find there?
Thank you, Robin. First of all, for your comment, it's really, really glad that you like the website. It's been a lot of work.
Yes.
And we have developed it as we were working on the program, and so they were sort of released at the same time. Right now, it contains most of the building elements that we planned for it. Obviously, the program, the information about the coaching and how to obtain both, and other resources. Obviously, it continues to be work in progress, and we'll keep adding good quality information and various types of resources to support anyone who wants to learn more about each one of the seven elements and ways to work with the elements and understand more about them, go maybe a little deeper into them, and perhaps, you know, with our help, of course, but also the help of other healthcare practitioners and therapists that we know and trust. And we want to include information about this type of resources as well in there, plus other types of information and resources to empower, inspire, and to anyone who is interested in this approach. Obviously, it's something that is, like Liz very well explained, has a certain, we come from a certain viewpoint, and if it resonates, then you can find plenty of information to start working in this direction.
Mm-hmm. If I can just say, just to finish on that, first of all, Sylvia has done most of that work on the website, so well done, Sylvia.
Yeah, very hands-on with our technology.
And yeah, just to say that we often say that we provide people information and inspiration, and that's what we hope the website will do. And it is in the early stages. We are going to build up our resource pages as time goes on, and we want to provide lots of good quality information, but we also want to provide inspiration. And so we are hoping to develop online events and a podcast and other in-person events. And as time goes on, we are going to be doing our Seven Elements program live as a live event. So that's something that will come in future. So yeah, the website will grow, it will develop, and we are building links with practitioners that we know and trust so that we can just provide people a really good resource around all of these areas of health that we've been discussing.
Fantastic. All right. Well, look, we're going to have to finish there. It's been really nice to talk to you both. I'm send you my very best wishes for a huge success for your enormously ambitious program. But I'm sure it's going to be a massive new resource for people with cancer. So brilliant. Well done, both of you.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Links to material mentioned by Liz and Sylvia can be found on the Yes to Life website. That's yestolife.org.uk. Click the show logo that's on the homepage. Do take a look at their new website, cancerclarity.co. Coming up next month in the Yes to Life calendar is our Retreat and Restore Day at the Bhaktivedanta Manor near Watford. This will be a day of yoga, meditation, resilience training, and more. In fact, many of the things just talked about by Liz and Sylvia. All in the amazing setting of the Manor House and its 70 acres of grounds. Full details and booking are on the Yes to Life Facebook page, as well as on the Yes to Life website events page. Thanks for listening today. Do join me again next week if you can. Goodbye.